Welcome, ladies, to our Naomi's Table Bible study in the book of Ephesians. Bible study teacher Beth Seifert has today's lesson. And, of course, don't forget the Bible study notes and questions to help you dig deeper. Those can be found on our website, naomistable.com. Let's open up God's Word and begin.
Well, today, ladies, we are going to start day two in our book of Ephesians, and I've titled this lesson, Sealed for Redemption. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 1 still. Today, we're going to read verses 7 through 14. We're backtracking just a little bit to cover a couple of the verses that we talked about yesterday so that you can see how they tie in to this passage too. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 7 through 14. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. Okay, so backing up just a bit to verse 7, we see that our redemption comes through his blood. But why? Why did we need his blood to cover our sins? Well, the answer is actually from the beginning of creation. When Adam and Eve first sinned, God made the first sacrifice of an animal in order to cover Adam and Eve's nakedness and sin. The first death. God killed the animal, and the blood of the animal was shed so that Adam and Eve could, quite literally, be covered in their exposed state. Sin requires a sacrifice. Yet even when God gives the law to Moses, we find that the blood of bulls and goats does not permanently bring us back into right relationship with God. That is why the sacrifices were required year after year. The blood of an animal, even a perfect, spotless, blemishless animal, could not make the people perfect or righteous. The law was never intended to be the final word, so to speak, but to point us all to the reality that we needed a Savior, as we saw that we could not fulfill the law on our own, at all. That we needed one who could fulfill the law, who we could rely on, and who would take our place, trading our sin for his righteousness. And that's what Christ did. That's why his blood was necessary. It was always necessary for the lifeblood of a creature to be shed to deal with the problem of sin in our lives. But to really deal with the problem of sin once for all, we had to have a perfect human sacrifice, not just an animal. And before the creation of the world, before Adam and Eve disobeyed, God had already planned to send Jesus as the sacrifice to cover our sins. God has made known to us the mystery of his will, his plan, by his purpose set forth in Christ, the plan to unite all things in him, in his time, all things in heaven and on earth. And here's what God's plan was, for us to have an inheritance. We were pre-chosen to have this inheritance for his purpose and according to his will. Paul describes those first century Christians as those who were the first to hope in Christ, and that was, again, not for their benefit, not primarily, but for God's glory. But see how Paul discusses this? He's so sure of this inheritance that he speaks of this as something that has already happened. Yet that inheritance comes at a price. A price we couldn't pay, so he paid it for us. When we hear the gospel and believe in him, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit, our guarantee, until we acquire our inheritance. I love how Paul phrases that. The Holy Spirit is the down payment on our inheritance. our eternal inheritance. The Holy Spirit dwelling in us is evidence that we can trust the promise that He will complete what He has started, and we will receive the rest of our inheritance someday. Did you realize that God didn't have to give us the Holy Spirit? He didn't have to provide proof that His promises were sure. He didn't have to provide a way for us to be in tune with Him, as the Holy Spirit does for us. Yet, for His glory and for our assurance, He sent the Holy Spirit anyway. And we are sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, marked with a seal. That's such a cool thing to me. It kind of reminds me of the movie Toy Story, where Andy always writes his name in permanent ink on the foot of his toys. Ladies, God has marked us. He has given us life, and He has given us the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, and we are His. That's cool. That's amazing. That God would choose to have His name attached to me? That's awesome. Remember from yesterday that Ephesus was an important port city as well as being the crossroad for many trade routes. In addition to this, Ephesus was home to one of the seven wonders of the ancient world, the Temple of Artemis. This temple of a false god not only was a reminder of the depravity and lack of understanding of the people of that city, but it was also a tribute to man and what man could create. Thus, as Paul begins his letter here, he points to the triune God who began and completed reconciliation and redemption of the world for the praise of His glory. I love how clear Paul's confidence comes through here. Paul knows who is going to win the day. He knows who will triumph, and it won't be evil. Evil will be defeated once and for all. Paul doesn't claim to know the when or the hows, but he knows that it will happen because God has already wrought the most important victory, and that was for our souls. Ladies, as I look at these verses today, I'm struck by the amazing hope we have in Christ. But something else strikes me also. It is amazing that Christ would come and fulfill that sacrifice of blood, as it says in Hebrews 9, verse 22, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Jesus paid that debt for us, but there's something that strikes me. There are so many who do not know Him. So many who are dying still in their sins. And these verses are such an encouragement for the believers. But for those who are not covered by His blood, these verses are terrifying because you can expect the exact opposite. Eternal separation from Christ. No redemption. No wisdom of things that matter. No knowledge of the plan He has set forth. Today, ladies, take comfort and hope in the eternal hope you have, knowing that that blood, that precious blood, was shed for the forgiveness of your sin. But don't stay there. Don't sit back and rest in what God has done for you. Share that hope with all those around you. It is only through Him that we receive the inheritance that never perishes, spoils, or fades. It is only through His sacrifice that our sins are wiped away. Don't hold that news to yourself. Pass it on. Give God the glory for the change and ransom of your life, and share that with anyone who will listen. Ladies, you will find the notes for this study under the Bible Studies tab on the website naomistable.com, Day 2, Sealed for Redemption.